Prepare yourself for a physical therapy conference that will deliver a PT education hangover of epic proportions. Because we're going to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas!
This October, PT Pintcast presents the Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
3 days of learning, networking, and, well, probably some good old-fashioned Las Vegas-style fun. With presentations by APTA President Sharon Dunn, State Chapter Presidents Chris Powers of California, John Hike of Arizona, and RJ Williams from Nevada. With your keynote presentation by Tim Flynn, focus talks on telehealth, medical marijuana, and motivational interviewing. Okay, just so we're clear, that's three different talks. We're not mixing medical marijuana with telehealth and motivational interviewing. Well, not yet, anyway. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at ptpintcast.com. Want to win your way in? Enter to win free tickets at ptpintcast.com. The Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th. What happens in Vegas? Well, you know how this ends.
In history, there are always these times of confluence that at some point in time, something happens to elevate and make that opportunity even greater. And I can't say enough about how right now, during this time, we have the opportunity to really elevate our industry as a whole in terms of the value and getting more people to understand the value and more access to patients in our practices. So please take advantage of this time period.
Had a chance to have Heidi Janenga, no stranger to the program, back on the show. Wanted to take a little bit of a toe dip into this gigantic document that they're giving away for free. It's called the State of Rehab Therapy 2019. Essentially just a gigantic, and I mean big, survey from your colleagues. More than 6,000 PTs responded on things like pay, happiness, things you're looking to do inside and outside of the profession. And we wanted to take an in-depth look with Heidi. We covered demographics, business and financials, salary, challenges and opportunities, and technology. And I even had a couple quotes in there. So of course, I wanted to read my own quotes. Episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in your clinical practice. So take a look at Johnny Owens and his team as they're around the country and around the world, not only improving research in BFR, but certifying and instructing clinicians on how to use it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com. Now, take a listen as we get in-depth with Heidi from WebPT.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The next episode of PT Pintcast starts right now. Our guest today is the president and co-founder of WebPT, Heidi Janenga. No stranger to the show. I think the more times you come on the show, Heidi, the shorter your intro gets.
That's okay. That's fine with me.
But
as long as we still hold true to the PT Pintcast. Unfortunately, this is early morning, and I do not have anything to pop open this early, but you know.
It's totally fine. It's in the spirit of what it would sound like if we were having a beer. But yeah, with your intro,
exactly.
With your intro getting shorter and shorter, it's like getting closer to being someone like Beyonce or Madonna or Bono. It's like they don't need to be introduced. It's just Heidi's here.
That's awesome. Well, similar to Jimmy's here. So.
All right. Well, I'll start that. Yeah, I'll get closer and closer to that. But how are things for you? How are things for WebPT these days?
Things are great. Things are moving forward. We have a lot to still do. Efficiency is a huge component of what WebPT is focusing on right now, which, you know, kind of is a good segue into some of the things that we found out from this amazing WebPT annual rehab therapy industry survey.
Yeah.
That we want to talk about today. So, the top of mind issue and WebPT specifically around our documentation efficiency, moving back to sort of our mission of really helping and empowering our therapists to achieve greatness in practice is what we're all about. And a lot of really cool things, including what we're calling SOAP 2.0, going to be coming out very, very soon. Already in beta, getting lots of positive feedback from those that have been involved in that. So we're looking forward to it.
anything that you can do that can have, you know, physical therapists, also, you know, OTs, SLPs, any therapist really who utilizes the software, do more of the thing that we went to school for and less of the other stuff, you know, or at least make the other stuff a little bit smoother. And you guys do this state of rehab therapy, a survey where you collected this year more than 6,000 responses, and 53% of those responding were actually non-WebPT members. So you get a really good gamut of responses. It's not just people who are using your software. You're really trying to capture what the profession is thinking.
Well, that was the whole point of the survey. You know, we as a organization are very mission driven, and in order to truly sort of effectively work towards this goal, we needed to really understand what is the state of our profession in general. And the more we sort of looked around, we went to analysts, we looked at, you know, scour the industry reports that were existing to find out more of this data, and we simply couldn't do it. We couldn't find it. And so we opted to just do it ourselves. This is our third annual.
Yeah.
Last year we had similar results. And so now we're starting to compound this information and be able to now compare some of the same interesting findings that we're doing and see trends over time, which is exactly what we're trying to accomplish.
All right. Well, this thing is it's like 30 pages long. So if people took the survey and now you want to see the results, right? You want to see what you and your other 6,357 colleagues are thinking. The big picture takeaways we want to focus on first and foremost, let's talk about that thing that happens when documentation can be a little bit friction filled. Therapy rehab professionals are burning out. Burnout coming up as a big takeaway. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, the burnout issue is huge. You know, the career outlook for people that have started into the field of physical therapy and have continued on in physical therapy. I mean, there's so many things now that we're burdened with where it is no longer just about, you know, treating patients and getting people better, which is, you know, why most of us got into the field. We wanted to help people. You know, the co-pays, the barriers to entry to even getting into our practices for us to even put our hands in and be able to help them, huge issue. But the regulatory burden and the compliance burden, I think, is the biggest thing, right? The hurdles that we have to jump through for insurance companies, the amount of documentation burden, yeah. All of those things really, you know, put a damper on your meaningfulness of the work that you do every day. And yeah. So, you know, that's essentially what we as a software company are trying to alleviate and do more and more of that. But, you know, the burden still exists on therapists, and it's something they're having to learn in school now. And, you know, it's, again, it takes away from the sexiness, if you will, of the meaningful work that we're trying to accomplish with patients.
Yeah, I've got a few.
Which is unfortunate because, yeah, in order to get paid, you got to jump through these hoops.
Yeah, I've got a few friends who are now taking students as clinical instructors, and they're talking about, I need to remind these students to maintain eye contact with the person they're across from because they keep jumping back into the computer, except we, you know, it's part of the gig, right? We've got to get that stuff filled out.
Yeah.
But you got to remind the people like, hey, you need to do that, but remember, there's a human sitting in front of you. Some other details in there, about half of the survey takers, a little more than 3,000 people, we're thinking about making a professional change within the next 5 years. That's scary.
Yeah, I mean it's scary because for me, we always want the smartest and brightest, most innovative people staying within an industry. And when I would also like to just put my opinion that the half of those people are probably, or that those 50% of the people in the survey are some of those smartest and brightest because they see other opportunities in other industries to make more money and to put their skills to work. And that's really unfortunate for a long-term view of our industry and the progress that we have made but need to continue to make. And, you know, part of that reason that they're considering the change was just to decrease the hours that they're working. So I know that there are a lot of hours spent on doing these, you know, hoops that we have to jump through that is outside of patient care.
Right.
Right. And again, not what most people came into this profession to do. And so That's really part of the issue is, again, efficiency of work and getting back to doing what we love to do, and that's treating patients.
Yeah, further insight from this topic that we found inside that WebPT State of Rehab Therapy in 2019 is what you just mentioned. Top two most popular options if you're thinking about leaving a profession, working fewer hours, as you mentioned, and also moving out of patient care directly. The top motivator for making this type of change was improved work-life balance, followed very closely by increased satisfaction and fulfillment, which could absolutely be attached to, are you there doing the thing that you wanted to do, or are you spending too much time doing the thing that you need to do, with some of that being that regulatory burden, that documentation?
Well, and that really is why we are pushing out this report, because what we hope to do is have clinic leaders, have clinic owners look at this information and really understand, okay, what can I do different to not only recruit the best and brightest, but to keep them?
Right.
What are the things that are most meaningful to therapists today? Which is, you know, not uncommon to other industries. They want to have meaning to their work. They want to have purpose. And so I talk a lot about conscious capitalism right now that is, you know, really surrounding these specific things, driving towards a higher purpose within your organization, having this community feel of meaningfulness to your work, driving some autonomy, but having a fantastic culture within your organizations can really help to, I think, make a difference. So whether that's looking at your benefits packages, looking at the environment in which you work, having these growth career pathing opportunities within your organization, like all of those things are so important and have to be focused on, not just the clinical care and driving towards, you know, better reimbursement. All of those things are so meaningful to actually keeping people, in my opinion, to make those other things happen.
Yeah. Love that. All right. So that's the very first big picture takeaway from this report. Let's go to the second one. The APTA was pushing for this for a long time in terms of direct access for physical therapy. Heidi runs around conferences wearing a red coat to raise some money so we can lobby for that. And yay, we did it. But we find that the big picture takeaway from your State of Rehab Therapy, direct access laws are misunderstood and under leveraged. Heidi, we got it. But now we're not understanding stuff. This isn't good.
Yeah, you know, I've been beating this drum for quite a while. In Arizona, we've had direct access unrestricted, let alone, since 1983. And, you know, we've done some, you know, just little mini non-research studies where we just call around to clinics locally and say, hey, I'm a patient. I'd love to come in. I have this shoulder problem that I got over the weekend. Can I come see you? And even, you know, last year, we still got 8 out of 10 clinics that are saying, I'm sorry, have you seen your physician first? You need a referral to come see us. And even when we say, hey, you know, we know in the state we can come in without a referral, my insurance will even pay for the first visit, they're like, I'm really sorry, that's our clinic policy. And it's like, oh, I just want to shake people. And so, you know, today we have 18 unrestricted patient access states. There's 26 states, including Washington, D.C. and U.S. Virgin Islands that have some restrictions or provisions that, you know, at least allow them to have an evaluation and treatment. Maybe you're limited on visits, or, you know, after a few visits, you have to have a specific referral requirement. And only six states, Alabama, Illinois, Mississippi, Missouri, Texas, and Wyoming are the states in which you can access to evaluation. But you're very limited in the treatment before you do actually indeed have to get a referral. And so every state in the union has direct access. So it's frustrating that still people don't understand what that means. And essentially it means that any patient can walk off the street, come into your clinic and receive a physical therapy evaluation at the least, right? And so I talk a lot about this 90%, right? We, as a profession, only 10% of the population who have musculoskeletal injuries or issues that are very applicable to physical therapy evaluation and treatment are getting into CS. So how do we attack this 90%? We must utilize direct access, get our brand, our our value that we add as physical therapists out there to more people to allow them to come in and stop putting up barriers to having more access to people coming into physical therapy.
Yeah, this is just misunderstanding information. I mean, like 13.7% of your survey takers said patients could not access a physical therapist directly in their state. That's not good when we know that there's at least some form of direct access in all 50 of those states. Also added that less than 1 in 10 respondents on this survey reported receiving the majority of new patients via self-referral, which could lead us to our next big takeaway. Payers are one of the biggest barrier to first-line rehab therapy. That's got to be a big one. That one comes up a lot.
Yeah, but that, I think that's also perception. From our research, we've looked at the majority of insurance companies are now at least paying, including Medicare, are at least paying for that initial eval, right? And so that's what we want. We want people to understand, get that first visit in. It puts us in the driver's seat as physical therapists to now become a referrer to our physician partners, right? And potentially on a more equal playing field, in which now you develop referral patterns in which you are now referring patients to physicians who then will refer back to you and understand the kind of care that you're able to deliver in your clinic, right? And so it is such a huge issue. This is one of my biggest sort of soapbox platforms that I am going to be pushing so much more this year and years to come, because I think it's such a missed opportunity when we are competing with each other for patients when we really shouldn't be, where we have such a huge majority of the overall population in the U.S. that could see us, but that aren't. And I will just say, to exclamation point this, right now with the opioid crisis issue, we can't do more of this fast enough. It is at the top of the food chain at all insurance companies to figure out, you know, alternatives to musculoskeletal pain, neurological pain, and we as therapists are the right provider to be able to do that. And so, you know, insurance companies are definitely trying to partner with these. I know we are doing some work with United Healthcare right now, in which they have said, you know, we will eliminate copays for a certain number of visits to get these patients in the door. Direct access, absolutely, we will pay for those visits of physical therapy with these people coming in, specifically with low back pain and musculoskeletal pain. So, you know, pointing the finger at other people, I think, is an easy way to, an easy cop out, but many of those barriers are starting to come down if they were there in the first place. Again, I think there's a misconception, misperception on a lot of that.
Yeah, it just seems like lingering perception that I guess takes away. I mean, I was talking with Alan Jetty not long ago, and that frequently cited statistics of it taking 17 years for a bit of research to go from being published to being put into practice. Hopefully, it doesn't take that long. Yeah. We have the ability to literally record a podcast today and release it in an hour to get information out. But we know that the fabric of how people operate, you need to mention it many, many times to get them to change their opinion or change that myth.
Change being the key word, right?
Yeah,
it's never easy. Status quo tends to stick around because it's what you know, and fear sets in when things are new, right? And so, but the more we can educate, the more we can get people to understand the opportunity that exists and get on board with it. I am going to be saying that until I'm dead.
Well, keep it up. I like it. All right. The fourth big takeaway we'll start the show with was consolidation is widespread in the therapy market, and about 23% of all respondents were involved in a merger or acquisition within the last 5 years.
Yeah. We've been talking about this for quite a while, too, in terms of this pending consolidation that was happening. We knew 2 to 3 years ago that private equity money had started flowing into the industry. Anytime there is this, you know, ability in their minds to pull things together to get the economies of scale, they like to do that when they see opportunity. And so we saw that money flowing in. And so now what you're seeing is these larger organizations who received private equity funding are now really starting to do the consolidation, to buy up clinics, to put, you know, mid-sized practices together. You know, it's a normal sort of economic evolution. Mm-hmm. I've seen this happen now twice during my 20 plus years within the industry. So it's a normal course of business. I think what's slightly different this time is a lot of these organizations are being led by, still continuing to be led through, even through private equity funding, through physical therapists, which I think is a positive thing, in which we have people that truly understand, you know, patient care, not just people at the top who are looking to make a profit.
Right.
So, you know, I'd love to continue to say that this is going, it's continue to be positive and opportunity for those that are quote unquote burnt out to have other opportunities to make, you know, make a good business decision on whether or not they want to continue or if they would like to be a part of a larger organization.
Yeah, if money is coming in, if private equity money is coming in, it means there's a good forecast. You know, people with private equity, their job is to invest in things that will grow. So that's a good sign. And the myth, really, when you hear of consolidation, that is really dispelled in this. You said about 23% of all respondents were involved in a merger or acquisition in the last 5 years. Usually we think of, oh no, that's bad. But the majority reported that the transaction had an overall positive impact on their organization. So it's good news that money's coming in, and when it does and their consolidation happens, they've been positively impacted. Those are two bits of good news.
Yeah. Well, and the overall industry, like you said, is growing, and that's also positive, right? We know the baby boomer impact, and with hopefully some of these changes that we're starting to see in policy with insurance companies of driving more patients to physical therapy, with us continuing to push forward on this, you know, breaking this 90% barrier, having more access to technology like patient retention management platforms in which you are keeping in contact with patients for longer, they're staying within the ecosystem of therapy. I think a lot of these changes are very positive to continue to expand the ability for us to see more patients, but also continue to have the patients that have come into physical therapy or rehab therapy, OT or speech, to see the value and continue coming back.
Yeah, great point. All right, so those were the four big takeaways. Hadi, just remind people, where can they download this, even if they didn't take the survey? Where can they get it? WebPT.com, I'm guessing social media as well?
Yep, social media. If you just Google State of Rehab Therapy Industry Report, WebPT, you can get the download there. Or via, you know, we've been publicizing on Facebook and Twitter. You can go to my page. I've got a link up on my Twitter page as well. So any place out on the web, pretty much, if you Google WebPT State of Industry Report, you will find it.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
If you're looking for education past your physical therapy degree, look no further than Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning. You can find out more at brooksihl.org. Continuing education along with residencies and fellowships. Residencies in orthopedics, geriatrics, women's health, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports, and a fellowship opportunity as well. So look into it if you're looking to expand your knowledge base, brooksihl.org.
Back to the PT Pinecast with Jimmy McKay.
Just a reminder, this is the third year, so we are starting to see some trends. So that's what we'll talk about. You guys actually reached out for some quotes for some people in the industry. For some reason, you decided to ask me what I thought about some things, and I of course, opened my mouth. So let's go to challenges and opportunities in terms of student debt. You guys really broke this report down into five major categories, all of having a big impact on the profession. And those are being pretty much demographics, business and financials, salary, challenges and opportunities, and technology. And the one that comes up, especially for persons like myself, I graduated in 16, so 3 years out, is that student debt. And you have a lot of demographics information here and a lot of debt information. Looks like 26.3% of total student debt at graduation in 2018 versus 2019, about 26% of those graduating had between $100,000 and $150,000 in debt. That was the largest group represented. That's a lot of debt. So my question, my quote in the report was, I think unfortunately we'll start to see smart students, and this is sort of what you alluded to earlier, is we're starting to see some of the best and brightest who are in the profession start to look for the door, I think we'll start to see smart students who might have chosen PT as their profession take a smart look at the situation, high cost, low payout in terms of salary, and unfortunately choose something else. And then keep in mind that the payoff doesn't only equal salary. I know it equals those things that you mentioned, culture, job satisfaction, but you also have to factor in that burnout. So if we want to attract smart people to the profession, we need to make their day-to-day appealing and not just that paycheck every other week. That day-to-day needs to be appealing. And right now with documentation, expectation of unbillable hours, the friction of navigating the healthcare system in general, the juice doesn't really equal the squeeze. I think debt will scare a lot of bright people away, and we can never have too many bright people in the profession. The one small bit of advice the silver lining is it actually went down. 26% of the respondents had between $100,000 and $150,000 in debt in 2018. That went down by 3% in 2019. So maybe we're trending that way. It might have just been whoever was being smarter financially in terms of loans. But that student debt, that's got to be a huge issue. And that's why we wanted to bring that one up.
Yeah, this was something we brought to light and put a huge spotlight on it last year when we just looked at these insurmountable, to be honest with you, debt that people are coming out with respect to the salaries that that new grads are starting out with, right? And like you said, does the juice really match the squeeze? So I was happy to see the change, but at the same time, I don't know that it's really statistically significant overall. But one thing I will say is that I agree with your quote in terms I think that we are going to start losing some best and brightest. But I think there's also another silver lining, Jimmy, in that there's people like you and I who are therapists. I know that you're continuing on with your clinical care, but we're also delving into other industries and other areas in which our expertise can be super valuable. And for me, I think that really highlights and elevates our profession when you see these, you know, really smart people that are starting to become analysts in healthcare organizations, in insurance companies, in, you know, other financial organizations, things like that, where healthcare is important, but we are now having the opportunity to take on positions with PT behind our name that weren't necessarily always traditional. So these non-clinical roles that continues to elevate the profession as a whole.
Yeah.
So although I 100% agree that we never want to lose the best and brightest in terms of clinical care, because at the end of the day, that is our brand, right? How patients perceive the clinical care that you receive from a physical therapist, that is of utmost importance. I do see other opportunities for those that maybe say, you know what, maybe this isn't all that it was cracked up to be in terms of clinical care. I love that I'm a PT and I'm going to continue to represent myself as a PT. Even, you know, today when someone asks me, what do you do? My first response is still, I'm a physical therapist.
Yep.
Right. And I just happened to start a software company. And so I think that's important too, in terms of elevating the profession and seeing other opportunities in the business world that we can continue to push the physical therapy brand, the physical therapist brand, but maybe just in a different profession.
Yeah, maybe this is the proverbial pressure that creates the diamond or cracks the coal. I think you bringing up, you know, what you did a lot. I bet you a lot of people for decades bitched about, you know, EMRs or paperwork, but how many of them did something about it? And I think that the connectivity
of entrepreneurial spirited people in our industry, right? And so using that entrepreneurialness to do slightly something different that helps the overall profession, I don't think that's a negative.
Yeah, no, I agreed. The other quote that I had dropped in there was about really the challenge and opportunity section, really in career outlook. And I had said some PTs weigh the things they came into the profession for versus the things they're doing in their workday and feel like they're on the short end of the stick. Bottom line is, though, that PT attracts people who want to help other people. Once they feel like they're not effectively doing that and that they're spending too much time documenting versus treating, being forced to do non-PT activities like dealing with insurance or other bureaucracy and getting paid less than they feel they should, they start to feel cheated. And then I would go on with saying, but it doesn't it's not all money. And I hear this a lot from other PTs, is really the reason they came here was nobody was fooling themselves and thinking they were going to get rich being a PT. So we're okay with that. I think that people are going to start to seek out places who really, really want to focus on the culture of their environment. If they can improve their minute-to-minute existence on how things are, if you get excited to go to work, you know, if you get excited, no matter what the setting of the patient population, if you get excited to work, to go to work with the individuals you get to work with, and, you know, the three C's that we talk about a lot are craft, cause, and community. Well, we know our cause in treating patients. It's that community who we build around us. If you can raise the bar there, it doesn't have to be on a paycheck. And people responding to the survey who were considering changes in the next 5 years, were looking at decreased hours work, moving into a non-clinical role, as we just mentioned, or they were just looking to retire. So I'd even take 12% of that. That was the response to retire. They're at the end of their career. So that's showing even less people were considering the change because they were thrown into that group. I think the more we pay attention to the culture, as you mentioned, the better the outlook will be.
I can't agree anymore. It's absolutely, and I will just say also the demographic percentage is not heavily weighed only on millennials. I think that this type of conversation gets pushed onto millennials. Mm-hmm. It's not just a millennial conversation. No. This is people in general, right? People want meaning to their work and what motivates them, having that autonomy, but truly having purpose to their work. And, you know, when you have a pile of documentation to do and hoops to jump through to get paid. And unfortunately, the business side of the PT world is not all that everybody, you know, why they people want to get into the profession, although it is very important. So I think that, you know, overall, you know, it is absolutely incumbent on clinic leaders, owners to take this to heart if they want to keep the best and brightest in their clinic. So I'm excited. We talk a lot about core values, going back to the basics of truly understanding what is the foundation of your culture, right? So taking some time to do that and understanding the vision and mission and being able to articulate it to those that are with you, right? And creating that sense of community. Absolutely. I love your three C's. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, I want to give Fox Rehabilitation. That's what we talk about there a lot, is those three C's. But listen, we've been talking about this thing for 30 minutes, but it's 31 pages long is what you can check this out. The State of Rehab Therapy, their third annual here in 2019 from WebPT. Go download this thing and peruse it. I don't see a person in PT that wouldn't benefit from it. Either you're working for a large organization, a small organization, if you're self-employed, if you're a student, if you're thinking about PT, this is kind of the snapshot of where things are right now. And this is the third annual. So the cool thing is you can go back to 18 and 17 and kind of compare where things are going. So thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate you guys, you know, putting a ton of effort, 31 pages of stuff like this. It doesn't just crank out itself.
No, we've got a crack marketing team and a crack analytics team who has really done a yeoman's job to get this going, but it is really important to us. I mean, selfishly, we've done this because we want the data, right? We want the information to be able to aggregate and share.
Yeah, but you don't have to share it.
A little plug. No, we don't have to.
Yeah, but you do. That's the cool part.
Goes to our mission, Jimmy. Yeah. Goes to our mission. And if anybody wants to dive into those 31 pages even in more in depth, we're actually doing an in-depth webinar next Thursday.
Okay.
So if you go to webpt.com, you go to the State of Rehab Therapy Industry Report, you can sign up for the webinar. We do, you don't have to be live and present. We actually record it and send it out, but you do have to sign up for it to get that recording. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's interested, it'll be this Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Sounds good. All right, you ready for three questions, Heidi?
Sure.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, three questions brought to you by our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. They're leaders in travel PT. Been doing it for a couple decades. They let you, a PT or a PTA, do what you want to do, wherever you want to do it. Placements all over the country in all 50 states. If you're thinking about relocating, yeah, they can find you the position, but then housing. They got you covered. They got a person for that. What about taxes? If you live somewhere and you work somewhere else, that's complicated. They got a person for that. What about CEUs? You have to worry about that? They've got a person for that. You're starting to see a theme. So if you're thinking about maybe taking a short-term assignment, 13 weeks, maybe turn that into a long-term assignment, check them out online at AURUSmedical.com. First question is a where question, Heidi. I know you're out in the Southwest, but if you could go anywhere in the country and be a PT or whatever PT means for you, where would you want to go? Where's somewhere in the country?
Well, I am partial to Hawaii for obvious reasons, but also because that is where my mom's family is from. So I feel very akin to the Hawaiian people. And so if I was going to practice, I would love to be in Hawaii.
And I talked to Sunny and the crew at Arias when we do these broadcasts at conferences. They say all the time, people just assume there are no positions in Hawaii because everybody would want to go. There are positions all the time. So you should definitely even look into it. So it's cool. Second question is, what's something that you've read, watched, downloaded, listened to that's really inspired you? It could be a movie, a book, a podcast, anything. What's something that recently you really said, yes, this inspired me?
So the most recent read that I have just finished that is probably the most inspiring thing for me is Brené's latest book, Leading Greatly. So I can't say enough about her, Brené Brown, but also just in her latest book. It has been an absolute, I don't want to say game changer, but very much a validation and framework to help talk about leadership and how vulnerability needs to be a part of leadership, but how to be a great leader. And so that is what I would say most inspiring most recently.
I just ordered that off of Amazon, so we think alike. I like it. I'll let you know what I think once I'm done with it. Third question is a who question. Who is someone in the world of PT or whatever world you're in that the audience should know more about? This is your chance to give like somebody a shout out for doing something great.
I think you're going to get me on the spot here. Well, I'm going to say, if you guys don't know and haven't seen what Evidence in Motion with John Childs is doing with regard to the changes in education, the disruption that they've done with their newer models, as well as their DPT program that they run through EIM. I'm a graduate of that program, and just a fantastic job of consolidating the sort of major, talk about smart and best and brightest of educators who come in, spend their time teaching these courses. I can't say enough about the gains that I've personally gotten through that program, but also just I love seeing the disruption, and John's just a kind of an icon in the industry.
Yep.
But yeah, he would be someone I would say get to know and also check out their blogs and podcasts and things. They do a really nice job through their education program.
Agreed. All right, you're off the hot seat for three questions. It's again brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Check them out, AURUSmedical.com. They're actually helping us to support our newest podcast. We just launched another podcast, Heidi, because I got nothing else to do. No free time, so I might as well launch another show. NPTE StudyCast, which is a free resource for students to prepare themselves for the NPTE. So when I was getting ready to study for it, I always had to drive to and from clinic because I was still in my third rotation when I was studying for it. So I said, I wish there was a podcast I could listen to. And there wasn't. But now that I've graduated, I just made one. So I want to thank them for helping that out. Last thing we do is your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com. What's the one sentiment you'd want everybody to take away from today's show and leave with?
Well, first and foremost, take the time to read this State of the Rehab Industry report. I think it, as Jimmy mentioned, there's just so many little nuggets in here of information that you can take away and actually do something with in terms of your clinics. And then the second one is just the 90% number, right? The direct access opportunity that we have in front of us right now with the opioid crisis. Take advantage of it. in history, there are always these times of confluence that at some point in time, something happens to elevate and make that opportunity even greater. And I can't say enough about how right now, during this time, we have the opportunity to really elevate our industry as a whole in terms of the value and getting more people to understand the value and more access to patients in our practices. So please take advantage of this time period.
Love it. Excellent. And of course, donate to the PAC whenever you're at an event.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to donate to the PAC. I want to get that plug in there too. Check them out at webpt.com, the State of Rehab Therapy 2019. Dive into this. Heidi, appreciate you taking some time out to talk us through this.
Jimmy, pleasure as always. Thanks for doing such great work for the industry.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast." Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pintcast."
Maybe throw in a please at the end.